peace and patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And so as we read these fruit of the Spirit and as we journey through this sermon series, we recognize that this fruit are attributes of the Holy Spirit. These are attributes of God that are transmitted into our own lives when we walk with the Spirit, when we are led by the Holy Spirit. And fruit of the Spirit is not something that we can make up. It's not something we can do on our own effort. This is fruit that is produced in our lives by God Himself, by the Holy Spirit, as we are walking with the Spirit. The fruit is not man-made. It can't be mass-produced. In other words, it grows out of life. You know, if we think about making something like the speaker here, we could get that manufactured. We could make that. But we can't make the fruit. It's kind of like fruit on a tree. It has to come out of something living. And so it is with the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. It is birthed out of the life of God that is in us. And so this fruit is growing as the Spirit is at work. It's kind of as in 2 Corinthians 5:17, we read, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here." And that is this fruit of the Spirit. It's this new creation in us. He lives us, and it's the character traits of God that are expressed through us. So as we keep in step with the Spirit, we do the things that the Spirit does. Since we live by the Spirit, the apostle says, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And the result of keeping it in step is a Spirit-led life, a life lived out as the Spirit directs us. It's one of our covenant affirmations in the church, one of six. It's really important to us, this idea of a conscious dependence on the Holy Spirit, that we rely on God, we rely on this work of the Spirit in our lives to produce the fruit. And today, we're looking at this fruit of faithfulness. And as the Holy Spirit is at work in us, we realize that we can only be faithful in what we do because God is faithful in what God does. So let's look at what faithfulness is about. You know, it's defined as this quality of being trustworthy, of being loyal, of being reliable. You know, another way it can be defined is being devoted to. And I think about this past week about Cheryl. You know, she took a little trip and landed on her arm and broke her arm. And so with the BBS coming up, myself and maybe some of you probably didn't expect that Cheryl would fulfill the whole role in BBS that she normally does. And yet, one-armed, she shared the Bible story and worked tirelessly throughout the whole week. And it was amazing to me that this kind of describes Cheryl as being devoted to. She's committed to. That's kind of this idea of the work of the Spirit. One dictionary uses a description of an exact representation or a faithful copy of the original. You know, we might think of an original piece of art. Cheryl and I were in Ferguson. We went to an art studio, and we were browsing through some of this art, and some of it was very nice. We found a particular picture that we liked, and it was looked at the price tag, and it was $3,000. I thought, wow, that's a little nicer than what I'm willing to pay. And so I thought, well, maybe there is a copy, an exact representation, you know, a print that I might be able to purchase for less. Didn't find one, but the idea is that, you know, the print is a copy of the original. Jesus is the original. He's the real thing, and we are reproductions of Him being made into the image of Christ. And faithfulness occurs when we allow Jesus to reproduce Himself in us. So the fruit of the Spirit, which is faithfulness, is Jesus revealed and at work in you and I through the Spirit. So how do other people see faithfulness in us? You know, do they, to see faithfulness, they see Jesus in you and me. So when we are in step with the Spirit, when we are led by the Spirit, we are doing the things that the Spirit does, and Jesus is seen in us, that fruit that is bursting with flavor. There's a song that we've sung here. It's called, "Have You Seen Jesus, My Lord?" And in this phrase, it talks about, you know, he's here in plain view. And then the lyrics go on to describe that Jesus is visible or seen in those around us who the Spirit is at work in. You know, you and I and believers all around us, we are experiencing this fruit of faithfulness and joy and love. And when we see this fruit, when others see it in us, they see Jesus. And this fruit of faithfulness, it displays loyalty and trustworthiness and reliability. And when they know we are followers of Jesus, then they may ask, you know, how is it that you have this faithfulness in you? What makes that work in you? And you and I can respond by saying it is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. It is Jesus, the fruit that's bursting with the flavor of Christ. So this attribute of faithfulness is demonstrated in being loyal and trustworthy and faithful servants of God in all circumstances. Is this being demonstrated in your life today? Would you say that faithfulness is part of your character, the work that God is doing in you? Do people see in you someone who is trustworthy and faithful and loyal on a daily basis? There was in seminary graduation, we received a little towel that was kind of a commemorative for us. And on it, it talked about living a life worthy of the calling from Ephesians chapter 4. And sometimes we recognize in our calling, you and I, whatever that calling is, that there are seasons or times when it seems like a burden and it seems like, you know, maybe there's something else I would rather be doing or something else you might rather be doing. And then we're reminded of the priority of our call, of our priority of being led by the Spirit, wherever the Spirit calls us, in all circumstances. And so it happens every day, being faithful until God takes us home. So what does living faithfully actually involve? In what parts of our lives do we see this fruit at work? Well, the Bible talks about faithfulness in all kinds of areas of our lives. There's a few listed here that you'll see. 1 Corinthians 4 talks about faithfulness with what we have been given, being faithful stewards. And Ephesians 5 talks about faithfulness to follow God's example. And Timothy 3 says faithfulness in our marriages as an image of Christ in the church. And Revelation 2 talks about faithfulness in witnessing, being faithful to sharing the good news of the gospel. Romans 12 talks about faithfulness in prayer, remembering to bring our needs to God. And Colossians 1 talks about faithfulness in ministry and what God has called us to do together as the church. Revelation 17 talks about faithfulness in following Jesus, and Proverbs 31 is faithfulness in instruction. And 3 John 3, it's faithfulness in walking in the truth. And Revelation 13 talks about faithfulness in persecution. And Revelation 20, again, talks about faithfulness even unto death. But that's not the end, is it? Then it's on to glory with Jesus in life forever. The work of the Spirit brings about the attribute of God's faithfulness in every aspect of our lives because God is faithful to place His Spirit in us and producing fruit that comes out, causing us to be faithful because God is faithful to us. You know, there's a Popular Mechanics article that talks about Australia. It says, Australia is on the move. It actually drifts as a continent about 70 millimeters to the northeast every year. And so the continent still drifts at a rate far too slow for us humans to notice, but the journey is now starting to mess with systems that rely on pinpoint accuracy. So we think about GPS. Australian GPS was last updated in 1994, and the entire country has moved a little more than 5 feet since then. So much of our current technology, which relies on GPS to coordinate it, for instance, driverless tractors. So you can imagine if you're out in your field and your tractor is 5 feet off, that could cause a little problems, couldn't it? Especially if you go back to cultivating. So, which is driving between the rows. And so for Australians using GPS, driverless cars, shipping drones, accuracy is fundamental. So everything on Earth changes, doesn't it? Even our GPS, including the mighty continents that are actually on the move. But for believers, there are three crucial foundational things that will never change. God doesn't change, His Word doesn't change, and His promises never change. These are settled forever in the heavens. So we see all these things around us that change, and they do, don't they? And so we think God's faithfulness to us, maybe that changes too. But it's not in transition. God's faithfulness never changes. He is faithful today and tomorrow and forever. The Lord's faithfulness to His people never ends. His faithfulness never runs out. Over and over again in Scripture and in our lives, the Lord reveals His faithfulness to us. Maybe you can think of times when you've experienced God's faithfulness. You're not alone. In our Psalm 100, our verse for reflection today, we're reminded that the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations, this generation, the next generation, and the generations to come until Jesus comes home. Trinity Opp, he's executive pastor over in Alexandria, and he shared an illustration on faithfulness from the book of the Bible that Isaac read today, Genesis chapter 22. It's the story of Abraham and his son, Isaac. It's about Abraham's faithfulness to obey God in something that we would not even consider, I don't think, as parents. But underlying Abraham's amazing act of faithfulness really is this story of God's faithfulness, how God continues to remain faithful even to the next generation. So let's look again at this story in the Bible in Genesis chapter 22. Pick up in the second verse. God had got Abraham's attention, and then He said, "Take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will show you." So Abraham, early in the next morning, got up and loaded his donkey, and he took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac, and he cut enough wood for the burnt offering and set out for the place that God had told him about. So we think about Isaac and what he means to Abraham, not just a son, not just a child, but a child of promise, that God has made this promise to Abraham that he will become a great nation, and through his offspring, all the nations will be blessed. And so this one child comes along, but we remember that this is a special child, even in that he was born to Abraham in his old age. Abraham was not a young man, and so there's not a whole lot of chance that there's going to be another boy that comes along. And so this is one special child. And God is calling Abraham to do something almost unthinkable, right? To sacrifice his one and only son. And Abraham responds so far in obedience. He intends, it seems, to go along with this. There was another father in Scripture who gave his one and only son as well. Do you know who that father is? That's God, right? And the one and only son is who? Jesus. Yeah, so this story parallels what God was going to do in generations to follow. So we pick up again in verse 5. Abraham tells his servants to stay there, and he's going to go and worship with his son. And he takes the wood and the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife as the two of them went together. Isaac spoke up and said to his father, "Father, yes, my son," Abraham said, "the fire and the wood are here, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. So the two of them were worshiping, and Isaac carries the wood on his back. It's kind of, an image or a symbol if we think about Jesus carrying his cross, to his death, becoming the ultimate sacrifice. So Abraham bound Isaac, and, we don't really get to know or hear too much about what's taking place in the midst of this process. It would be hard to imagine, wouldn't it? This idea of Abraham binding his son and preparing to kill him as a sacrifice. They went willingly and obediently as God told them. And so then we pick up in verse 10. Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him, "Abraham, Abraham, here I am. Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." And so Abraham was about to do it, but it was a test of his faithfulness, his obedience to God. And, it seems to me like a crazy test. I don't know about you. It's just unthinkable. And yet, Abraham believed God and was willing and knew that God was going to produce an outcome that was good, that fulfilled God's purpose. And he did, and then he looks over and sees this ram that is caught in the thicket, and that becomes the sacrifice that Abraham and Isaac offer there as they worship God. And he says, he proclaims that the Lord will provide. On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. You see, what God wants from us is obedience that results in faithfulness. And faithful obedience is possible because God is faithful. We learn in this kind of a lesson that our willingness to be obedient results in God's provision, in this case the ram, and God's blessing that is extended on to the next generation. In 18 we read that through your offspring all nations on the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed. See, God is always faithful to fulfill his promises. He didn't know the outcome, but Abraham trusted and obeyed. And we see then in generations to follow the greatest example of faithfulness is Jesus going to the cross. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed, "Lord, if it's possible, take this from me. I really don't want to walk through this." And yet, he says, "Not my will, but yours be done." Jesus knew that he was that ram caught in the thicket, that he was the lamb to be sacrificed, that he was the substitute for you and me to go to his death that we might be forgiven, and that he would raise again that we might have new life in him. It's this understanding in Philippians chapter 2 about Jesus' faithfulness. It says in verse 9, therefore God, verse 8, he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that Jesus would be worshipped. So obedient to death, that's faithfulness. We pray, "Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done." And sometimes I think we just pray it as it rolls off our lips as something we're supposed to pray. But when we really think about that, we think that, it is God himself who allows us to live faithfully into what he has called us to, even into that prayer we pray. "Lord, not my will, but your will be done." Faithfulness, as we think about it, is this understanding of obedience to God. So how do we know when this faithfulness is being worked out in our lives? How do we know when the Holy Spirit is accomplishing this in us? We think about here at Bethlehem Church and ask the question, have we been faithful as a church to accomplishing God's purpose? And we might think, well, sure, look what's going on. But you know what? Faithfulness is not measured in outcomes. have to remind myself of this because I'm actually drawn to outcomes. I like to see good things happen. I like to see progress. That's one thing, and we talk again about farming, you know, back in the days when we used to cultivate. I used to like that because I could look back and see what I had accomplished. You know, the rows were nice and clean. They looked good, you know. You drive down the field at the end of the day, it's like, ooh, look at that, I did that. And so sometimes in the church too, you know, I get this feeling, you know, like I want to see good things happen. I want to be able to look back and say, ooh, look at what we did. But we recognize that that's not the point of faithfulness. And I have to remind myself. You know, we do want to know that our methods and strategies are moving forward God's mission. You know, I think we all want to know that, but what's really huge for me and maybe for you too is to understand that faithfulness isn't measured by our success or failure. As we think about results, faithfulness isn't a function of a bunch of kids who pray at VBS to receive Jesus. Now, I want you to hear me carefully here. I think that's important. New life in Christ is important, and it begins by committing your life to Him by faith. And so for kids to trust Christ and to pray to receive Jesus is an important thing, but it is not a measure of our faithfulness. So what is a measure of faithfulness? Faithfulness is a matter of being faithful, being obedient to the gifts and abilities and opportunities that God gives us. So are we obedient to what God has called us to? You know, this past week in VBS, I know that it takes the whole church. Actually, it takes a couple churches in order to make this VBS happen. But many of you actually did come and serve or give, you know, being faithful to how God has called you. So maybe as a group leader or a helper or a student volunteer or maybe a kitchen server or a vacuum cleaner operator or a set builder or an imagination station volunteer or a computer operator or a resource provider or a filler of gaps or a cleanup crew, or a picture taker, or any of the 50-plus odd jobs that it requires in order for VBS to come together. You know, were we obedient to what the Lord was calling us to in this week, whatever that calling was? Or for you, wherever you served Christ this week. You know, whether it's VBS or any other way, when we are obedient to our abilities and opportunities, then the fruit of the Spirit is at work in our lives. And that's faithfulness. So what about results? There was a young student, a young child who was in VBS, and he was working with his leader. He wanted to be a helper. And so the leader said that would probably be okay. And so he gave this child some responsibilities. And at the end of the day, he was asked, so how did it go? Well, it was pretty good, But I made some mistakes. He said he messed up a little. He forgot to do what he was supposed to do all the time. But you know, that's okay, isn't it? It's not about the results. It's about the willing heart and the willingness to step into obedience to do what God has called us to do. We're called to be faithful in the opportunities that God gives us. I'm going to skip ahead. So the fruit of obedience is it always belongs to God. The result always belongs to God. You know, it's the Holy Spirit's work in us, and so the results are God's as well. So if we're faithful to do what God has called us to do, then we are trusting that the results are in God's hands. So when the Spirit produces fruit, God gets the glory. It's not about our glory. It's not about our praise. The purpose of the fruit is to make us more and more like Jesus for His glory. And so today, I was thinking that we would take a selfie. So I'm going to turn my sound off. I'm glad you didn't call me while I was up here. So one of the reasons for this is a reminder that we are a replica, a copy of Jesus Himself. So if we take the, are you guys smiling back there? One, two, three. There we go. Y'all look great. So it reminds us that we are an image of the Creator. You know, as we take this selfie, we're reminded that the work of the Spirit in us, the fruit of the Spirit in us, is all about us becoming more and more like Jesus. So when we take a selfie, what should we see? We should see Jesus at work in our lives. You know, it's not about our effort to be more faithful. It's a matter of depending more and more on the work of the Holy Spirit in us, who makes us more and more like Jesus. And when we are led by the Spirit, and when we are walking with the Spirit, our desire is to hear the words of Jesus one day, who says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done." Because it is the Spirit's work in us that produces faithfulness, that whose outcome is God's good work in us. So I'm inviting us to come back next week for the conclusion of this series. It's fruit that's never out of season. Let us pray. Lord, as we think about faithfulness and being faithful and faith, that sometimes is a complicated idea, it seems. And yet when it comes down to it, it's quite simple. It's your work in us. It's the fruit of your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, you invite us and ask us by faith to trust you, to walk with you, to be led by the Spirit, to live Spirit-filled lives, and, Lord, to simply walk in obedience to your leading. And so, Lord, help us to do that. Help us to surrender our will to your will. Help us to listen intently where you are leading. And then, Lord, fill us more and more with your Spirit as we walk with you. And, Lord, trust the outcome to you. So, Lord, thank you for your faithfulness through all generations, your faithfulness to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.